It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
It is the national news from the WIA for week commencing February 9, 2025. In this, our 30th year of non-stop news. And I have been taken to task several times of why 30 years of non-stop news. Well, prior to that 30-year mark, the news services here in VK all seemed to stop over the Christmas period, when nothing seemed to happen. Anyway, this week, for the first time in over 20 years, our contest and DX reporter Felix, VK4FUQ, was unable to file his report. Felix is in Ingham, which has been hard hit by the Queensland floods, in fact, with no power for days. Fresh food is even being choppered in by both military and private arrangements put in place by Coles and Woolworths. Our thoughts are with you, Felix, and so this week, John Williams, VK4JJW, steps up to pen the DX window on this, the WIA National News Service. And this week is the second week the audio is being transmitted through South Africa in quite some time. So, ZS listeners, settle back for the best news you'll get all week. Now wait, there is more, much, much more in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4 Baker Baker.
Australia's ham radio news station. We are VK1 WIA.
This is Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. By now, a number of you will have received your copy of Issue 1. Others, not so much. I have reports that Issue 1 appeared in newsagents mid-last week, much to the chagrin of those who have yet to receive it in the mail. Tell me about it. That happens here on the Gold Coast too, damn it. If this has happened to you this month, I sympathise with your frustration. Hang in there. It should be in your letterbox or post office box real soon now. The news agency distribution system can be better than Australia Post on occasion, it seems. Mind you, in far north Queensland, both means of delivery are bound to be later than usual, what with the extraordinary floods residents and businesses there are suffering. Further to last week's preview, there's more to Issue 1 than portable pursuits. The saga of the development of the OSCAR satellites up to AMSAT OSCAR 7 continues, revealing much detail not revealed to date. We have a wrap-up of the Hamicon event in Hobart last November, with a surprise at the end. In the Below 25 column for young people on the air, Alec Cherry, VK2MV, reveals planning for a remote amateur station to enable young licensees to get on the air beyond the interference present in the cities. And we get to see a recent photo of the four Yota broadcast news crew. Put faces to the voices. This issue, a regular column on Your WIA Working For You, lays out the behind-the-scenes work necessary to coordinate amateur satellites, launch new ones, and to keep them supported. WIA News includes coverage of amateurs supporting the recent California wildfires, the International Amateur Radio Union's centenary, and a quick biography of our new returning officer, Pete Cherry, VK2LP, who is busy now conducting the election of directors. As ever, there is always more to read in Amateur Radio Magazine. Issue 1 for 2025, More Guts, Less Gab, proudly produced and printed in Australia. Also available online. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
WIA Board Election 2025. And once again, but becoming par for course, nothing to report by WIA board members, but we are joined this week by one of the five candidates, and members will vote for four, the candidates running for board positions in this year's WIA board elections.
Hello, radio enthusiast. This is Klaus, VK3IU, and I'd like to take a moment to introduce myself. I'm a telecommunication engineer with over 45 years in the industry. My journey in the radio started with CB radio before I became a licensed amateur in 1980. Before moving to Australia in 2000, I lived and worked in the Philippines as telecommunications consultant, operating under the call sign 4F1RWW. When I migrated to Australia, life got busy and I took a 20-year break from the hobby. but in 2020 I restarted my passion for amateur radio, rejoining the WIA again and becoming an active member of the Gippsland Gate Radio and Electronics Club. I served 3 years as treasurer and now hold the role as club secretary. As a committee member, I have to strengthen the club's finances and introduce new policies to keep up with our ever-changing world. Now, why I'm running for the WIA board? Because I believe in stronger engagement between the WIA, its affiliated clubs, and individual members. While government relations remain a priority, we can't overlook the voices of our local clubs and operators. I want to listen, understand their concerns, and be their advocate on the board. After all, what's good for amateur radio is good for all hams. On the airways, I am an avid contester, always excited to jump into major competitions. My favorite mode, CW, Morse code. But I also embrace all new modes of operations in amateur radio, including the very popular digital modes, which has revolutionized digital communications and brought more operators onto the bands. If you like to learn more about me and my work in amateur radio, check out my website, qsl.net/vk3iu. So let's keep the buns alive, the conversation flowing, and amateur radio thriving. I'd love your support. Together we can make a difference. This is Klaus, VK3IU, signing off and looking forward to connecting with you on the air. 73.
Thanks, Klaus. Now, candidate information is available in the current edition of Amateur Radio Magazine or to the right of the candidate on the electronic voting slip. Our candidate clause, VK3IO, has a link. It's typed out for you in this week's text edition of WIA National News. Best read at wia.org.au.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Leading this week's international news, Timothy Ellum, KC, Victor Echo 6 Sierra Hotel, President, International Amateur Radio Union, writing in wia.org.au, reminds all of us that this is the year that the IARU celebrates a centenary of connections. When amateur radio pioneers first gathered in Paris on the 18th of April 1925, they created the International Amateur Radio Union, IARU, to support activities worldwide. Since then, the IARU has worked tirelessly to defend and expand the official frequency allocations for amateur radio. Thanks to the support of enlightened administrations in every part of the globe, radio amateurs can experiment and communicate in frequency bands that are strategically located throughout the radio spectrum. From 25 countries in 1925, the IARU has grown to include over 160 member societies today. In the meantime, the IARU is kicking off its centenary celebrations on the 18th of April, World Amateur Radio Day. Our theme for this year is a century of connections, celebrating 100 years of amateur radio innovation, community and advocacy. As an advocate and representative for the amateur services, the IARU is a proud and active member of the International Telecommunications Union, ITU. They were first admitted into the work of the Consultative Committee on International Radio, CCIR, the forerunner to today's ITU radio communications sector in 1932. IARU have continued contributing to ITU's radio communication and emergency response activities ever since. The RSGB has announced that Peter Bauer, Golf 4 Mike Juliet Sierra, is to take on the new role of RSGB Board Vice Chair. The current board chair, Stuart Bryant, Golf 3 Yankee Sierra X-Ray, said that the role of RSGB board chair has always been a busy one, and as the RSGB has taken on more commitments, the demands of this position have continually grown. Being able to share those duties is in the best interests of both the society and the incumbent, and he's grateful to Peter for volunteering for this new role. How bad can a solar storm be? Well, just ask a tree. Unlike human records, which go back hundreds of years, trees can remember solar storms for millennia.
Nagoya University doctoral student Fusa Miyake made the discovery in 2012 while studying rings in the stump of a 1,900-year-old Japanese cedar. One ring in particular drew her attention. Grown in the year 774 to 75 AD, it contained a 12% jump in radioactive carbon-14, about 20 times greater than ordinary fluctuations from cosmic radiation. Other teams confirmed the spike in wood from Germany, Russia, the United States, Finland, and New Zealand. Whatever happened, trees all over the world experienced it. More researchers think it was a solar storm, an extraordinary one. Often, we point to the Carrington event of 1859 as the worst-case scenario for solar storms. The 774 to 75 AD storm was at least 10 times stronger, and if it happened today, it would floor modern technology. Since Miyake's initial discovery, she and others have confirmed 5 more examples. Researchers called them Miyake events. WPTF's transmitter site is a host to a radio time capsule. While the site is operational, its accompanying building has been long sealed off. RadioWorld.com recently connected with Heather Lear, aka the Hidden Historian. Heather spends her time traversing crumbling buildings, forgotten hideaways and underground tunnels to share with her followers the hidden history right under your feet. Based in North Carolina, she's explored abandoned theme parks, watery graves, and now an AM station's historic transmitter building. During the day, the main tower stands tall and proud, wrote Lear in her blog post. In the 1950s, the building was staffed around the clock with a department of 15 people. Adorned with rounded windows and curved edges, the building may appear small from the outside, but it extends deep underground into a shelter that provided a safe haven for announcers to broadcast through tumultuous events, such as hurricanes or even potential wars. Nearly 80 years on and sealed off from the outside world, it holds on to dusty secrets that time has forgotten. Resembling a living time capsule, the basement was home to WPTF's disaster bomb shelter. In cases of emergency, WPTF was prepared to maintain open lines of communication. Lear said the shelter is stocked with turntables from the 1950s, a couple of old-timey albums, along with old McDonald's wrappers and coffee cups. You can visit via the web by clicking the URL we like in the text edition of this, your WIA National News Service, best read on wia.org.au. Taylorator makes mischief on the airwaves. This story comes with a caveat. Do not attempt this at home. In Hackaday recently, Stephen wrote in to share his experiments using the Lime SDR Mini to conduct a bit of piracy on the airwaves. And though we can't immediately think of a legitimate application for spamming the full FM broadcast band simultaneously, we can't help be fascinated by the technique. Called the Taylorator, it was originally intended to carpet bomb the FM dial with the collected works of Taylor Swift on every channel. The code makes for some interesting reading if you're interested in the transmission side of software-defined radio. The write-up talks about the logistics of FM modulation and how quickly the computational demands stack up once you're trying to push out 100 different audio streams at once. It eats up nearly 4 gigabytes of RAM. As Stephen touches on at the end of the Hackaday post, this is almost certainly illegal, no matter what country you happen to live in. Weird but wonderful. When is radio not radio? At the height of the Cold War, those of us here on the western side of the wall had plenty of choice for our radio listening, even if we stuck with our country's monolithic broadcasters. On the other side, in the Soviet Union, radio for many came without a choice of source, in the form of wired radio systems built into all apartments. In a Soviet apartment, usually in the kitchen, there would be a radio socket on the wall. It carried an audio signal. The box which plugged into it was referred to as a radio, but instead contained only a transformer, loudspeaker, and volume control. These carried the centralized radio station, piped from Moscow to the regions by a higher voltage line, then successively stepped down at regional, local, and apartment block level. A later refinement brought a couple of more stations on separate sump carriers, but it was the single-channel speakers which provided the soundtrack for daily life. The decline of the system came over the decades following the end of communism, and now the speaker boxes survive as affectionate curios for those who grew up with them. For VK1 WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news.
Operational news. Standing in for Felix, VK4FUQ, who is in Ingham and flooded in. I'm John, VK4JJW. Now, contest-wise, 2025. The CQ Worldwide WPX RITI contest started Saturday and runs until 23:59 UTC today, Sunday, the 9th of February. Using RITI on the 80 to 10 metre bands where contests are permitted, the exchange's signal report and serial number. In Holland, their PACC contest started Saturday, runs until 1200 UTC today, Sunday, 9th of February. Using CW and SSB on the 160 to 10 metre bands, where contests are permitted, the exchange's signal report and serial number. PA stations also send their province. CQ 160 metre SSB contest, February 21 to 23. The IARU 100th Anniversary Centennial QSO Party. The IARU CQP will be held for 9 days, beginning Saturday 12th of April and ending Sunday the 20th. This event will celebrate 100 years of the IARU. The Harry Angel Memorial 80-metre sprint, that's on Saturday, May 3. The VK Shires Contest, 7th and 8th of June. The NZ Straight Key Night. Next New Zealand Straight Key Night will be held Sunday, 8th of June, from 0100 hours to 0900 UTC on 80 metres. IARU HF World Championship. The 24-hour IARU HF World Championship starts 1200 UTC Saturday, 12th of July, and ends at 1159 UTC Sunday, 13th of July. This annual contest supports amateur self-training in radio communications, improving operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs around the world using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10-metre bands. Trans-Tasman Low Band Contest, 19th of July, 2025. The Trans-Tasman Contest, held on the third weekend in July, aims to encourage low band activity between VK and ZL. Only contest bands 160, 80 and 40 are allowed with SSB, CW and digital, RITI or PSK. Now let's open the DX window to the world. British Railways Amateur Radio Society is running special event stations GB0LMR and GB2SDR during 2025 to celebrate 200 years of train travel. Operation will be mainly focused on 40 metres, but there may be additional activity on other bands. Still over in the motherland, the RSGB's weekly news broadcast, GB2RS, is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. As part of the celebration, special call sign GB70RS is active throughout the year, the call signs being operated by radio amateurs who help to deliver GB2RS each week and could include newsreaders and RSGB headquarters staff. Unlike here in VK, in the UK, RSGB has to have separate newsreaders for each frequency. You can listen out for RSGB operators on all bands and modes, with activity taking place at any time, although you're particularly likely to hear them before and after the GB2RS broadcast. Find out more via the GB70RS page at qrz.com. Special event station LZ75IPA is active right throughout 2025, celebrating the 75th anniversary of the International Police Association. QSL via Club Logs OQRS, or direct to LZ3HI. Lonar Meteor Lake Special Event AU6LON. Lonar Meteor Lake is a crater lake formed by the impact of a meteor 5 million years ago. It's an astronomical wonder in itself. VU2DSI, Data from India will be operating, activating from this unique place in the world of astronomy from the 20th to the 24th of February. Lonar Meteor Lake is in the Buldhana district of the state of Maharashtra in India. I'm sure we're all supporting with our thoughts those in far north Queensland and in particular those severely affected by the flooding around Townsville and Ingham, where Felix, VK4FUQ, who normally does this report, is out of action, albeit temporarily. This is the first time in over 20 years that Felix has not been able to file a report. Hopefully, he'll be back next week. For WIA National News, I'm John, VK4JJW.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Bruce, VK3FFF.
And a very good day to you. Worldwide special interest groups, astronomy and wireless weather. Coronal loop flickering seen as a clue to solar flares. Scientists believe that one key to predicting dangerous solar flares may rest in a clue they have found in the sun's coronal loops. Analysing images captured at NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, researchers say they have identified a telltale flickering that seems to be a tip-off that dangerous solar flares are soon to follow. The scientists detected the flickering in coronal loops of shining plasma. This was actually ultraviolet light at specific wavelengths, and it occurred before the sun shot massive bursts of electromagnetic radiation, which we know as solar flares. The researchers viewed the phenomenon just before 50 such solar flares. Their findings were presented to the American Astronomical Society in Maryland on January the 15th. The scientists believe that what they have observed may provide a way to develop more dependable forecasts of space weather. Worldwide special interest groups, final frontier. Europa Clipper heads out. The 6-ton spacecraft, now with recertified transistors, launches soon, headed to Jupiter and its mysterious icy moon, Europa, for arrival in April 2030. At 30 metres wide, once its solar arrays are unfurled, Europa Clipper is NASA's largest planetary exploration spacecraft ever. Clipper's nominal mission includes 49 passes by Europa, coming as close as 25 kilometres above the surface and through Jupiter's harsh radiation belts. There was a fear that some onboard rad-hard MOSFETs were not actually so rad-hard, but NASA has since tested spares and found them sufficient, based in part on the fact that the intense radiation will only come in bursts every 21 days during the spacecraft's orbit, and the rest of the time the transistors can be slowly heated to allow them to anneal any radiation damage. Europa Clipper carries 9 instruments to study Europa's crust and its strongly suspected subsurface ocean, which may be 150 kilometres deep. We'll know more in 2030, so stay tuned. Worldwide special interest groups, Internet, the ham's domain. The Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs has issued a mandatory direction for all Australian government entities to prevent the use or installation of DeepSeek products, applications and web services, and, where found, remove all existing instances of DeepSeek products, applications and web services from all Australian government systems and devices, the statement said. Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke said DeepSeek posed an unacceptable risk to government technology and the immediate ban was to protect Australia's national security and national interest. The ban does not extend to devices of private citizens. For that story, thanks to itnews.com. Worldwide special interest groups, IOTA, St. Peter and St. Paul Archipelago, ITA number SA014. The Araucaria DX Group has announced that it has received permission from the Brazilian Navy to conduct a de-expedition from St. Peter and St. Paul Archipelago SA014 in the October-November 2025 timeframe. The DXCC entity was last activated in 2012. The announcement said, since 2012, permission to land and operate from the rocks has not been granted, but this team's RIBs, or radio-in-a-box capability, enables them to make this activation possible without the operators being physically on the rocks, thereby meeting the key requirement of the Navy for a very small footprint operation with minimum human presence. According to the permit, two team members will be allowed to land each day for a limited time to refuel the generators and make any necessary repairs. Plans are to deploy five RIBs for a total of six stations and to operate CW, SSB and FT8 on 160 to 6 metres. There will be six local operators who will be based on a boat anchored at a short distance from the rocks. This local team will be complemented by a number of remote operators. Further information, including dates and call sign, will be provided in due course. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Maritime. Maritime Radio Day 2025. Registration is now open for Maritime Radio Day, which takes place annually on the 14th and 15th of April. This is to commemorate the almost 100 years of wireless telegraphy service for seafarers, which ended with the closure in the UK of Portishead Radio on the 30th of April 2000. Commencing at 1200 UTC on the 14th and finishing at 2300 UTC on the 15th, this event is a great opportunity to QSO with ex-marine radio officers and coast station professionals who exchange details of their previous ships and coast stations. The mode of operation is CW and all the HF bands are used, including the WARC bands. A certificate of participation will be issued to all who submit results. We amateur license holders are invited to register and take part as friends of MRD. SWLs may also submit logs. You can find further information at radioofficers.com. I'm Bruce, VK3FFF in sunny Bendigo.
Well, we've reached that point in WIA National News where we say it's a date. Once again, clubs are welcome to email text with audio for this section, and details of all WIA-affiliated clubs and societies can be found on the WIA website, including email addresses and website links. So to our first event in VK6, it's PAGFest, Peel Amateur Radio Group. This will be held February 15, 9 a.m. at Mandurah Bowling Club. It's a little to their east and VK5.
Hi, this is Nathan, VK5OG, President of the South Coast Amateur Radio Club. The 1st of February, all membership fees are due, which is $50 this year. We will be having a vote on memberships on the 27th of February 2025 at our club rooms at Hastings Street, Seaford. So if you'd like to be eligible to vote, please make sure your membership is paid by the 1st of February 2025. Hope to see you there. This has been Nathan, VK5OG, President of the South Coast Amateur Radio Club.
So hopefully your membership has been paid. In VK3, Yarra Valley Amateur Radio Group's Hamfest, March 1. VK7, Meet the Voice Social Outing, Ross Caravan Park, March 23. Redcliffe and District Radio Club Redfest, April 12 at Deception Bay North State School. The WIA AGM, May 3 to 4, hosted by Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club. VK2, the Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club's 49th annual field day weekend at Warhope Showground, June 7 and 8. VK5, CERG Convention and Fox Hunting Championships, June 7 and 8 at Scout Hall, Mount Gambier. The Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's 50th anniversary will be held July 26, Glen Waverley. In VK4, the Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society's Hamfest, November 9. Rosebud Radio Fest at Eastbourne Primary School at Rosebud, November 16. And getting in early for Christmas, because You may remember that song, Santa Didn't Make It Into Darwin for Christmas. Well, the Darwin Amateur Radio Club's Dark Christmas Party, 6:30 p.m. December 3. So now, with those words ringing in your ear, walk softly. I'm Graham, VK4BB.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.